Yep.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, Lord, we love ya. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus is God, and he's God to me. And I just tell you, I can't tell you enough about him fast enough so that you will connect into him and you'll see the glory of the Lord come down. Believe me. You know, we've been talking on the gifts of the Spirit, and I've noticed that a lot of Christians have not been taught very much about the gifts of the Spirit from the Bible. They're taught about the gift of prophecy from men and women and their view of what it is and how it operates. And they're not very biblical about what they think. And there's so many divinators that have been loosed upon the body of Christ in the last years of people that claim to be prophets, and some of them claim to be prophetesses, and some of them use this particular gift like you would go to a fortune teller. You know, they will have a little group of people that depend on them for their word from the Lord for each day. And they'll call them and say, "What has the Lord said to you about me?" Well, you see, if you want to know what the Lord has to say, you need to get in the Bible. And the Lord talks to me in the Bible all the time. I don't have to run from person to person trying to find out what God thinks, because what God thinks is right in the Word. And the Bible says the Word of God is never going to pass away. So if you get up underneath one of those kind of people, you become dependent on them. And God knows we don't need to be dependent on people anymore, because all of us have been let down in the past, and we're going to build our life around Jesus and his Word. So that's what we want you to do. Now, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are shown in the Bible in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 8 through 11. And it says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy." Now, when you read that scripture, you notice that it emphasizes that these gifts are given to us by the Holy Spirit. And the scripture says, by his will. It's by his will.
Corinthians.
Isn't that what I said? What I say? I'm sorry. It is Corinthians. I'm sorry. I really like to spell these things out, but you know, a lot of people like them abbreviated. So, but anyway, 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11. And so I'm real tired today. I've had a heck of a day. Many people have called and caught me, and I've been doing a lot of work. And, you know, some of you just have no idea the workload that I have. And I just can't stay on the phone talking to people all the time anymore. I don't have that kind of help in the ministry. Other people have help. Other people will just come up on the radio, and there's somebody working the board for them, and the sound and things like that. I'm having to do all this stuff myself, in addition to all the other stuff that I do. So you're just going to have to forgive me if I can't spend a lot of time talking to you on the telephone. I love you, But this is our Wednesday night meeting and Friday night worship and prayer meeting. And this is the time when we come together and fellowship in prayer meeting and in talk and in teaching. And we encourage each other through testimonies. And so just be praying for me during this show. And I sure would appreciate that. So, the gift of prophecy, it's prophetes, and that's the Greek word, which means one who speaks forth. One who speaks forth. But now, in these modern prophets and prophetesses, I call them prophetesses, these people, they just seem to have it all together all the time. Have you ever noticed that? Johnny on the spot. Whatever your need, you can get a word from this prophetess. And you see, that's like going to a fortune teller, because your relationship is supposed to be with Jesus. And it's not with a human being like that. And I think a lot of that stuff that goes on in that way is absolutely nothing but either the human spirit of the person that wants to be the prophetess or the prophet, or it can also be inspired by the devil because of the fact that, have you ever heard of fortune tellers? And psychics, and gypsies, and people like that. Well, you see, they see things in the spirit realm. A wizard or a witch, they can see things about you in the spirit realm. But here's my experience. I've ministered to quite a few witches and wizards over the years. And I'm talking about former ones, the people that have come out of it. And so I talk a lot to them and learn a lot of what went on in their lives. And that's how I know a lot of things. The way they discover stuff about you is spirit to spirit. And this spirit-to-spirit activity, it comes from their unholy spirit speaking to the spirits either in a person or surrounding a person. Because there are spirits that follow people from the day they're born until the day they die. And these particular spirits that follow a person, these spirits know every single thing about you. Plus, they'll know things about your family line, your grandma, your granddaddy, conversations that you had with school teachers, sisters, brothers, accidents that you had when you were young, difficulties that you had when you at birth, all sorts of pertinent, interesting information. They have that because of the spirit. When they come and they're going to prophesy over you, you're looking at them. They're looking at you. You see a human being standing in front of you. But they hear, and sometimes some of them see, into the spirit realms. And so when they are talking to you, there's a spirit that is their familiar spirit, and that familiar spirit is talking to the familiar spirits either in you or around you. And so that's how they come up. Oh, do you know somebody by the name of Mac? Yeah, I do. Is that person 6'2" tall? Yeah, mm-hmm. Does he have blonde? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they got you because you know who they're talking about. And so you think, this is coming right from the throne of God. And, you know, I had a preacher woman one time call me, for instance. And she said, I had a dream about you last night. I said, you did? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, what did you dream? She said, well, she said, I saw this very handsome man. And see, my husband's been dead for several years now, and so, but I'm not interested in handsome men at all, see. So she said, do you know somebody that has blue eyes and blonde hair, about 6 feet tall, very, very handsome? I said, well, you know, my husband had blonde hair and was very handsome and 6 foot tall, but he's dead. She said, is his name Bad? I said, yeah, that's what his name was. And she said, well, he told me to tell you that he loves you very, very much. And that he told me to tell you that he's left some hidden money for you. And so I said to her, I said, did he tell you where it was hidden? And she said, no, he didn't tell me that. I said, well, I don't think that was my husband, because if my husband was trying to talk to me and had money hidden, he would have told you where to tell me where to find it. And so that was the end of that conversation. But see, this was a Christian pastor. And see, this particular Christian pastor's ministry worked on prophecy all the time. And I never asked her for any prophecies over my life. And so she was trying to get me hooked in so that I'd be calling her and she could get control of my ministry and the life, and my life, because she seemed to get control of you. And whenever they got you hooked so that you're wondering, I wonder if the Lord told Janie anything about me during the night. And you just run to the phone and you say, Janie, what is the Lord saying about me today? And she'll tell you. They'll tell you. Just Johnny on the spot. They know everything. So this is called fortune telling. It's not the gift of the Holy Spirit at all. And it's either a gift of the flesh, of that person's human mind, because some people will prophesy over you because they want that to happen in your life. And so they'll tell you things like they see your life and you've been praying for a new car. And they're sitting in the prayer meeting and they're hearing you pray. And then after the prayer meeting's over, they come up to you and say, you know, the Lord told me something to tell you during the prayer meeting. And you'll say, what was that? And they'll say, he told me to tell you that he is going to buy you a new car. And they'll prophesy your prayers over you. And you've been praying that to the Lord. And so all of a sudden you forget that you just said it in the prayer meeting anyway. And what happens is you say, that was the Lord. That was the Lord. Well, you see, you don't want to get dependent on people. I say it again and again. You want to get dependent on the Lord. And, you know, I lost my little cross that I wear. My husband, it was his cross. I've lost it about 10 times. Mm-hmm. Sabrina knows. And I lost it again. And so the Lord told me, he said, It's in your room. Well, I've been walking around the room 3 or 4 days looking for it. And the Lord said, it's going to be, you're going to be startled when you find it. So finally, I got tired of looking for it. And I said, well, if you want me to have it, give it to me. I don't want to pray about it. I don't want to think about it anymore. And my sister came by today, and I said, you know, I've lost my cross. It's in the room here. So she said about it to find it, and so she found it. And the Lord is accurate. When he tells you something, you can take it to the bank, but you have to know that it's his voice that told you that, because the demons will speak to your mind too. Well, you know, I've been walking with the Lord for so long, I know the voice of the Lord. And sometimes he just likes to play little games, you know. Well, it's in your room, and then you start looking, and, you know, he'll say, you'll find it soon, and stuff like that. Sabrina's laughing. She says, yeah. So Jesus has a personal relationship with his people is what I'm getting at. I remember one time, this is a little sideline. It just goes along with the cross story. My husband had bought me this beautiful amethyst ring. And I had gone to another city with my husband. And we came home and I fell asleep. I woke up and it was gone. And I said, oh my God, I've lost it. And so I prayed about it, and I got Sabrina and a few people to agree with me in prayer. And I went to sleep, and the next morning, I heard something drop from the upper shelf, and it went down into the sink. And this stone was big enough that it couldn't get all the way down into the sink, but I saw something that was real greasy looking and oily looking. And I picked it up, and it was that stone. And that stone looked like it had been through hell and back. It had grease on it and dirt, and it was so greasy and dirty, I didn't know what it was until I washed it off. And it was that stone. So somewhere, wherever we were, I had lost that ring. And he brought it back, put it on that shelf, and it dropped by itself down into that sink. So, see, God is interested in you is what I'm getting at. And he wants to help you with everything that you have. I'm not a particular person in Christ. He loves everybody because, you see, his blood equalizes us. He shed the same blood for you as he shed for me. And just because somebody, and this is not me, would sit and praise him 24 hours a day doesn't make him love that person any more than he loves you and he loves me. His blood is the equalizer. Now, he wants us to have the fellowship with him, but he, at the same time, he wants us to let him groom our faith. And you can't groom your faith if you're dependent on a person instead of him. And the way he's going to groom your faith is that you go to him first. You seek him about everything first. And then if you're having problems believing for it, then you invite other people into your faith to increase your faith. And so that I remember when I was first born again, I got a hold of that scripture where two or more agree touching in under one thing that he's in the midst. And I figured that if I could pray about something, and then if I could get as many people to agree with me about that prayer, that God would be too embarrassed not to answer it. That's what I figured as a baby Christian. So I would go around and get about 20 people to agree with me, and he always answered my prayer. But you see, he wants to increase your faith. He wants to be able to answer your prayer. And as a baby Christian, I just had a little bitty, itty-bitty little faith. So I was gathering other people's faith to increase the little bit of faith that I had. And he even honored that little bit of faith that I had. So you got to have your trust and your faith in him. Now, you see, I'm going to talk to you about prophecy tonight, but I'm going to tell you that the gifts of the Holy Spirit do not operate unless the person that's manifesting the gifts of the Holy Spirit has faith. And they have to have faith in the Word, and they have to have faith in Jesus Christ, and they have to yield their spirit and their vessel to his in order for the gift to operate. Now, let's go and look back at the opposite of the gift of faith. If you were to go to a fortune teller, and I only know this because I went to one before I ever got saved, and I'm not telling you to ever do that because you'll get demon-possessed if you do. But what happens is these people are very, very religious usually. And what they do is they usually will have a Bible in their place, and they'll have rosary beads there. They'll have crucifixes there. But the other thing that you'll notice is that the room will be very, very dark. And whenever they begin to speak about your life to you, what happens is they go off into some sort of a trance, and they get into what we call the wrong spirit, which is the trance. And in the trance, it opens them up so that they can hear clearly into the spiritual realms. And then they will tell you things about your family, about your life. By the time the session's over, they haven't told you anything at all that will help you in your life. It's just little stuff that happened in your life, that some of that stuff you know and only you know. And I remember when I went, I remember that that woman told me, she said, "I see a man, and he's 6 feet tall," and she said, "he's been watching over your life since you were born." And she said, "Do you know a man of that description?" And I didn't. I said, "No, I never knew anybody like that." And so I went by my dad's house one day, and I said, "Dad, do we know anybody?" And I described that man. He said, "Oh, yes." He said, "That's my dead brother." Well, you see, I never knew his dead brother. So I couldn't figure out why is he watching over me anyway. And so I didn't put a lot of stock in all of that. But the point being is I'm just telling you how they operate. Well, you see, Christians operate the same way if they're operating with the same spirit that the world are the psychics, or the witches, or the wizards, those kind of people, they operate the same way. Now, whenever you were, if you were to deal, let's say, with a wizard, or a witch. How do they operate? They operate on a much deeper level than an American woman that claims to be a psychic. They operate on a supernatural level, and they walk in agreement and very close to the demons that guide their lives. And they can see those demons just like they can see you if you stood in their presence. And so the demons are at a deeper level. But if they're operating, and let's say you go to a ministry where a wizard is operating, they hardly ever give a prophecy on the spot concerning your life. What they would do is they would say, I'm going to pray about you tonight, and you come back tomorrow and I'll tell you what God says about you to me. And what they do is they go home, and during the night they will ask those spirits about you. And those spirits will go and gather information from the spirit realms about you. Now, here's what you need to know. Spirits are territorially based. In other words, here in Jacksonville, where I live, there are spirits that rule over the city, that rule from the water. We have a big St. John's River here, and they rule from the underground. And those spirits that are ruling over this area are responsible to Satan for this area. And it's their responsibility to capture souls here. And so if, let's say a wizard comes into the area, and let's say the wizard prophesied over you, he would get, or she, the witch or the wizard, you know, that's how they are. They would get the information from the spirits concerning you in this particular territory because they have the records on you and they watch your life here. Now, in your area, they would be, those spirits in your area would be doing the same things to you as these spirits over here are doing to me. So, if you leave this area and you go to another territory, those spirits do not know you, and they do not work as freely over your life. And the way a lot of the psychics in America would operate is they have prophecies, a group of prophecies that they would prophesy over different people, same prophecies. And so it's little baby stuff too that they give each person that could fit any walking human being's life. And some of them are not spiritual at all, okay? So the powers of darkness have power. There's no question about it. But they cannot read your mind. If a person says, I'm a mind reader, they're getting their information either from a spirit that knows you, a familiar spirit, or they're getting their information from a spirit that lives inside of you. The devil cannot read your mind. The only way the devil can know what's in your mind is if he impresses something into your mind or supernaturally speaks it into your mind. So the spirit realms work on the other side, but when it works, it's a hit and miss situation. Sometimes they are right on the mark, depending on the level that they are spiritually on their side of the coin. And sometimes you say, well, you know, I don't know that I believe that, and that sort of thing, because they haven't hit you. They've given you a word, but it doesn't apply to your particular situation or your life. So the devil prophesies is what I'm getting at. And the church in this day and time have just filled up with people that are prophets and prophetesses. Now, let me say this before I go any further. I know things. One of the reasons that I know things is that I've been around a long time. I've been around since the 70s. And I was middle-aged when I became saved. So I've been around a long time. So I've seen the changes in our government and in our churches to the point that I can almost tell you when that era came into the church, because I've watched them very closely. So I was around when prophecy was not prevalent in any church at all. In fact, I can remember a minister coming to Jacksonville Beach, and he was giving a prophecy to everyone that came into the meeting. And every single person rejected him because they had never seen that before. And they came out of the church and said, I think that man's of the devil. Now, some of these same people that rejected him would go running to him the next day to see what else God had to say, because they've been infiltrated and they've been suckered in to these false prophets and prophetesses. Now, here's the difference between me and them. I don't allow people to just pray for me, just anyone. I pray about where I go. I ask the Lord, if I go, can that pastor pray for me? And if the Lord tells me yes, I would let that pastor pray for me. If the Lord says no, I don't let that pastor pray for me or whoever. If I go to a meeting and there's one of these prophecy nuts in there and they're walking around prophesying over everybody, I plead the blood of Jesus over myself. And I bind that devil and I say, I forbid you to speak a word over me if you're not of God. And I cover myself with the fire of the Holy Ghost. They will walk a wide circle around me and go around and prophesy over everyone but me. You see, the things that I tell you are things that I know that work. Now, in my Christian life, and I've been around since the 70s, I've probably had about three to four people to come to me and say, God told me to tell you this. And they tell me. And I'm talking these three or four people that have told me this in all of these years have been right, have correct. And usually if God gives you a word like that, a personal word about your life, it's something he's already told you, or it's something you know by your spirit. And we'll get into some of that in a bit. But the point is you see, as I keep telling you over and over, words are very powerful. Words either come from the Spirit of God, the spirit of the devil. They come from a person's mouth, which is their human spirit. Or they can come from the spirit realms, from the lips of angels, fallen angels. And God can send messenger angels to you. But that's why the Bible says, test the spirits to see if they be of God. So we have to test the spirits. And so whenever the devil knows that he's got somebody that's going to test the words, He's not going to be giving you a lot of words anyway, because you're going to test them to see if they come from God. And so let's just look at what the gift of prophecy from the Word is at this point. What is a prophet? A prophetess? Are there levels of prophets and prophetesses? Do we see them over in the Old Testament? How did they function in the Old Testament? Well, what you see in the Old Testament is exactly how they're going to function in the New Testament. Now, what is it? It's a proclaimer of a divine message and a means to speak for another. And in this particular case, we're talking about the person that's moving under the gift of prophecy is moving under the divine gift and anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that divine gift is sometimes it's just placed into your spirit, and sometimes you just open your mouth and all you know is the first three or four words. And when you open your mouth and you say those first three or four words, it'll just flow out of you like a gushing waterfall. Sometimes when you prophesy over someone, you have absolutely no human understanding of why God spoke to them or what you told them means, what it means. Sometimes you do if God gives you the understanding. But sometimes God will speak to another person through a person operating under the gift of prophecy, and he will give that person a message that only they understand. Because it's not important for you to understand it. It's not for your life. But if there's a reason that God wants you to understand it, he will give you the interpretation by the Spirit as well as the prophecy. Which leads me to tell you that the gifts of the Spirit interact with each other all the time. When you're operating in a gift, you've got to be operating in a gift of faith. When you're operating in a gift, sometimes the interpretation spirit will operate with that gift that you're operating with. So it's a proclaimer of a divine message, and it's God's means to speak for another. Now, denoted among the Greeks an interpreter of the oracles of their gods. So, in prophecy, a lot of times God is speaking to interpret in the spirit something about his law or his word to that individual that you're speaking to. Something, some question that they have in their mind, God will answer it for them. A prophecy is divinely inspired and an anointed utterance. So in other words, I don't initiate a prophecy for anyone. I have people to come up to me when I used to go out and minister, and they'd say, can you see anything about me? Does God have a word for me? And I'll say, well, he hasn't given it to me. Well, you see, that makes me look stupid. But I'm nothing unless God gives it to me. And I'm not going to just stand there and force some word out of my mouth because somebody's asked me a question. If God doesn't give it to you, don't speak it. because of the fact that prophecy will have a tremendous power over a person's life. You see, when people come to us for deliverance, if they're coming out of a background where they were into witchcraft or they were in family witchcraft, where somebody in the family was the witch and was giving prophecies over people and that sort of thing, or the parents had taken them to someone and they were dedicated to Satan as a child, and they came from that sort of a background. We always start them with a clean slate as Christians by breaking the powers of the words, the curses, the spells over their lives, coming from the witches, the wizards, and all of those words, we break them and we cage the demons that are there that have been sent to enforce them. Now, when a word is spoken over you by a witch, a wizard, a fortune teller, a psychic, this type thing, what happens is those words are powerful. Their words are spiritual. And those words will go forth into the air, and the demons will pick up those words, and they will enforce those words into your life. And so therefore, if you have a desire to do something or be something, and you go and you say, I'm going to do that, I know that I can do that, and words have been spoken over your life as a life's plan, no matter how hard you try, it feels like you're in a cage and you just can't. You can do some of it because you believe you can do it, but it always comes to an end and you cannot fulfill what you want to do. Now, that's because those words have bound you and chained you to the prophetic word of the operator, the spiritual handler or operator over your life. And so that's why we break the curses coming down the family line when somebody comes to us. We break the curses because the devil, before you become a Christian, has you bound and chained. And the activities in your family line have released spirits over your life so that your life's plan will come to pass as the devil intends for it to happen. If the devil intended for you to be an alcoholic like your granddaddy used to be an alcoholic, those spirits that come down your family line will set about, they will drive you to become an alcoholic. They'll push every button in your life to bring that thing forth in your life. So, what I'm saying is, satanic words have power. Well, so does godly words have power. Now, you know, the devils, the witches, they know this. The wizards know this. In witchcraft, if a person hires a wizard or a witch and they say, I want you to curse this person, he did this or that to me, the wizard or the witch will say, okay, this will cost you whatever it costs. Then that wizard will work a power, and when that power is released, that wizard or that witch will find a way so that the person that they work the power over knows that they have sent a curse upon them. And when the person discovers that person has sent a curse on them, what happens is fear comes on that person. And the moment fear comes on that person, then the spirit comes through the open door. That's the way the curses operate. And so you either receive it or you don't. Let me talk to you and show you a character in the Bible by Balaam. We all know about Balaam. Balaam was hired by Balak to put a curse on Israel. And he tried to get him to put a curse on Israel three times. And instead of Balaam did all the ritualisms, all of the requirements from the spiritual realm required by the demons for the curse to operate and work. But then when he opened his mouth to speak the curse against Israel, God's people at that time, he could not curse them. He could only speak blessings over them. And he died a very violent death. You see, when you serve the powers of darkness, he's gonna give you what you want in the beginning. But when he's finished with you, you're just a piece of trash to him. You're not important at all. And he's going to extract a payment for your use of his powers. So he couldn't curse him. And a lot of Christians just think that demons have so much power that they can touch them anytime they want to, day or night. And you see, you get what you believe. If that's what you believe, those demons can curse you. Those demons can touch you. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the power of the universe and that his blood is very, very powerful, and it's more powerful than the blood of animals that this other side uses, and they send a curse on you, it'll take effect. If you don't stand up and say, "You can't touch me, I belong to Jesus," if you believe that they have powers to come and attack you, they have powers to come and attack you. This is why we tell you to get into the Word so that you can increase your faith so that you can stand against those powers. Amen? And so the gift of prophecy is God. You don't have to be a minister. You don't have to be a pastor or a bishop. All of these people are used to today. The manifestation of God is speaking to the person. You hear me? Well, it shows up on the air. You can't hear me? The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus over this. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Can you hear me? Sabrina? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I'm up. I show that I'm up, but you can't hear me. Some people have to check one. Okay. Tell them that I'm up. Ask them if they can hear me. I'm up. Praise the Lord. Blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. We bind every boasted spirit, every wicked spirit, every witchcraft spirit. You folks, in the name of Jesus, you're all bound and chained, and we confuse the powers of the enemy. Garble that they can hear. Everybody reflect your machines. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. Sabrina, how do you refresh your machine?
You push your son.
F, just F. Which one is it?
Yeah.
What do you do? Come over here and do it.
You don't sleep, but I mess with them.
Okay. Well, Bill says I'm garbled. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. I'm going to play a song to him.
Do you feel your touch? You are still.
Well, praise the Lord. Can you hear me? You can hear me. The devil hates it when Christians get a little bit of light. So we bind every devil that interfered in that, and we bind you, and we put you in a cage, and we command your mouth to shut up and for you to listen to this whole sermon until it's over, in Jesus' name. So where we are is, a prophecy may be a message from God that concerns present events, or it may concern future. Prophecy foretells, and it foretells. And so the Hebrew word for prophecy means to flow forth. It also carries with it a thought, to gush forth like a fountain, to let drop, to lift up, to tumble forth, or to spring forth. And so a holy message, whether present or future, which provides edification. Now, this is why God gives prophecies to churches and people, to edify. For your edification, which means to build you up in your faith, or exhortation, which means correction in your life, and comfort. And so when God gives you a spiritual prophecy, 2 Corinthians 14:3 says, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exaltation and comfort." So, does that say anything there about, yes, my dear, I'm going to get you a new house. I'm going to get you a new husband. I'm going to get you a new car. And the things that they're doing is just absolutely bizarre. Because of the fact that the things that God gives to us as Christians are things that we pray about. It gives us an opportunity to go before the throne of God to seek his face concerning the things that we're asking him to do. You see, Jesus, he could have easily, the minute I missed the cross that I lost 4 days ago, he could have given it to me 4 days ago. But he's kept me in a fellowship with him for 4 days
saying, where is it, Lord? And he would answer, and I would pray about it. I talked to several of my friends, getting them in agreement with me. And it was a physical, spiritual fellowship with Jesus. And then what he did is he waited until my sister came today. And see, my sister is a Christian, but she has stopped going to church some time ago. And so he let her find the cross. You think that he had to wait to let her find the cross? He had a reason for that. Because I prayed with her. I said, well, let's pray. The Lord will show you where that cross is. And we prayed. And I said, the Bible says if we agree, he's going to give up, find that cross. And she saw the Lord use her to find that cross. And that cross.
And have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. We give you praise and honor, Lord Jesus. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for your perfect love to cast out all fear. We thank you that you have all power in heaven and in earth. We thank you that you're in charge, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for honoring the Lord Jesus and giving him the name. And he laid down his life for his friends. And it's not that we loved you first. You loved us first, Lord. For even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We give you praise and honor, Lord Jesus. We thank you for laying down your life for us. We thank you. It is so clear in your word for those who have eyes to see. Lord, give us all those who will ever hear this Blog Talk Radio broadcast and all the broadcasts having to do with Pat Holiday, and all your children with a seeking heart, Lord God, give us all eyes to see, ears to hear, and understanding hearts, Father, in Jesus' name. Because Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Ask. You shall receive it. You're going to be full of there in John 16, verse 23 and 24. So I'm asking you, Father, because of the blood of the covenant. And that's what speaking, the blood of Jesus, is speaking better things than that of Abel. As one of your priests, Father God, under the high priest, the Lord Jesus, high priest after the order of Melchizedek, we have the power of an endless life. That's an awesome power. He's always going to be the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. I'm not great at grammar, but it says to feed the church of God, which he, that is God, has purchased with his, that is God's, own blood. Well, it sure looks like Jesus is God to me. There's some into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which I have preached, than that which we have preached, excuse me, unto you. I'll start that verse again. That's Galatians 1, is verse 8. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Ooh. As we've said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you, then you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. That's a sobering comment. And then over in 2 Corinthians 11, starting verse 13, 2 Corinthians, I'm going to go back a couple pages, 11, starting at verse 13, what does it say? For such are, we'll go back another verse. It's talking about the Judaizers who come in and saying that people had to be circumcised to be saved. But anyway, it says 2 Corinthians 11, verse 12. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, wherein they glory, that they may be found even as we are. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And that's a puzzling thing, isn't it? You know, you'd think Satan would just parade around in nice little red nighties, you know, like they were up north with a pointy, you know, horns and a pitchfork or something, but he doesn't come that way usually. Sometimes he shows up as somebody carrying a Bible and a nice suit and maybe with a nice bank account and well-financed TV programming. And it looks pretty good. Even what he said might come out of the Bible, a lot of it. Did Satan ever use words right out of the Bible to the Lord Jesus when Jesus was praying and fasting? You know, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all this. No, it is written, thou shalt serve the Lord your God, only in him shall you serve. In other words, we're not supposed to bow down to anyone else other than the Lord himself. And Jesus is God. And no question about that. And we thank you, Lord, that you are God. We thank you, Lord, that many, many times in Scripture that you've proved to us over and over and over again that you are God. And those people that have been bewitched, and I think a lot of them don't do it intentionally. They're not going out there saying, please deceive me. They found something that looks good. You know, I mean, hey, this guy's saying, you know, Jesus wants to give me prosperity. Well, I'm not saying he doesn't, but that's not the main thing. If we're motivated by covetousness, then we're going to have a bit of a problem. We might not make it into heaven. Because it says over in Ephesians, where is that, Lord? Ephesians 5? Ephesians 5, starting verse 5. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, that somebody wants something that's not theirs, like that somebody who's coveting, thou shalt not covet. In other words, you're not supposed to want your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's house, your neighbor's Maserati. They didn't have Maseratis when they wrote this originally, but that's the general idea. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Oh, Lord, help us to be obedient children. willing and obedient. Help me to be an obedient child, Lord. Not, maybe everybody else is. I know you're working on me, Lord. I really appreciate you circumcising my heart, Lord, and the heart of my seed. You promised me that over in Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. Bear with me. Hello there. I'm back. This is Marshall, and I just got a waiting call from Pat, and she tells me to let people know that she was, Blog Talk contacted her to say this is a site-wide issue that's not just for this show. It's affecting all of Blog Talk at this time, and their technicians are working on fixing it. But even more importantly, the Lord's helping them. So, Father, we ask you to give the technicians your wisdom, because it says in your word, if any man lacks wisdom, over in the beginning of James chapter 1, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it will be given him. And you said in your word, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. And so we come boldly before your throne of grace, as you tell us to, over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. And we come to you because of the blood of the covenant. Because you said, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. And you said over in Ephesians 2, I think it's 2:13, we're made nigh by the blood. It's only the blood of Jesus that makes us righteous so that we can come before you, Father, and come before you because of the blood. And we thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to love us and wash us from our sins in his own blood, like you said in Revelation 1:5. And we ask you to restore the Blog Talk radio broadcast swiftly, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask you to give the technicians your wisdom and discernment, Father God, in Jesus' name, to get the things fixed in the natural. And we ask for your angels to work on it in the supernatural. We thank you for sending additional warring angels, Father God, even right now, to work and protect your servants, Father God, and to work to restore all the connection. We bind every scrambling spirit. We bind every interfering spirit, every spirit of voice. We bind you. We command you all to be bound, thrust in a cage, and lock you in, put gags in your mouths, and nothing further to do with this broadcast in Jesus' name. But we thank you, Father God, that you always give us the victory because we're in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus said, the Word of God says over in, I guess I should look it up because my paraphrase might not be as good as Jesus' words. His words are forever settled in heaven. Everything else is going to pass away, but his word is always going to be. In fact, he esteems his word above all his name. It says over in Psalm 138, verse 2, I believe it is. And where was I going here? I was going to 1 John chapter 3. So I'm sure somebody's, Pat's praying with me in agreement. Somebody else is praying with me in agreement. She tells me that somebody can hear me, so I'm just sharing as the Holy Spirit leads me. Father, I command that no ungodly spirit may ever steal a single word of the true and living God from any one of our hearts and minds in Jesus' name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's given us all power in heaven and earth. And I thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers, petitions and declarations, and making them effectual and fervent. For you said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we thank you, Father, for the gift of righteousness, according to Romans 5:17, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, that we shall reign. In fact, we continue to reign in Christ Jesus, even right now. For in you, Lord Jesus, we live and move and have our being. I thank you, Father, for simply sending your word and restoring the Blog Talk broadcast even now. For now is the day of salvation, as it is written. And Jesus is in heaven now making intercession for us. For Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And we thank you that you're in heaven now making intercession for us, Lord Jesus, even as it is written in Hebrews 9:24. And we thank you, Lord, that we have now received the atonement. Because you said your name is I Am. Not I will be. Not I was. You are I Am, your very present help in time, even as it is written over in Psalm 46. We'll take a quick jog back there before I get to the 1 John verse. I haven't forgotten. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me.
Psalm 46 is awesome. Awesome, 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 awesome. A lot of word is awesome. Where is it, Lord Jesus? It comes after 45, probably. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Thank you, Father God. You're a very present help in trouble. Thank you for keeping us by the power of your cross, by the power of your word, the word of your power. For the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then it says over in verse 2 of Psalm 46, we'll have it open. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Yeah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. So we thank you for helping us right early, Lord. We know that the heathen may be raging, but you're in charge. And we thank you, Lord. The heavens do rule over, as it says over in Daniel. And then you tell us sometimes, Lord, over in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. So, Father, we thank you that we have the privilege of being in Christ Jesus. It says over in 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And verse 23, and this is his commandment. This is Father God's commandment. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And we believe on your name, I am that I am, because of the blood of the covenant. And love one another. Love all human beings created in your image, as he gave us commandment. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. Verse 24. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So we thank you, Father, for the gift of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the privilege of abiding in you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the gift of your good spirit, the privilege, Lord Jesus, of knowing you by knowing your spirit. Actually, it says no man knows the Son but the Father. No man knows the Father saving the Son, and to whom the Son will reveal him. So we thank you for the revelations that you give, Lord Jesus, the revelations of the Father, that we might know the Father. You came to show us the Father, and we're so grateful that you do that, Lord. Even as it says over in Psalm 22:22. Let me see if I can get to that one. I don't actually have all these verses memorized yet. The Lord is writing his law in my heart, and I ask you to continue to do so, Lord. Psalm 22:22, it says, this is the Lord speaking, I will declare thy name, the name of the Father, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. Will I praise thee? And he does. He does. And even as it's written in the end of the Gospel of John, chapter 17, the last verse is amazing to me, anyway. I don't know. Maybe everybody else is. Well, it doesn't matter. I have the privilege of sharing my little amazements. The last verse, this is Jesus speaking, John 17:26. He says, I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare, that is it, they put in italics, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. I think that ties in beautifully with communion. I don't know about anybody else, but it does, to me anyway. And I know he also has a reference, it's in another one of the Bibles, but it's in Hebrews chapter 2. Let's see if I can flip over there. Oh, here it is, Hebrews 2:12. There's more than one place this is in here. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. See, Jesus came to show us the Father. I will declare, when you know somebody's name in Scripture, you know them. Because Jesus means God who is salvation, or Yahweh who is salvation, or Jehovah who is salvation. He is our salvation. He's our deliverer. You know, But anyway, in Hebrews 2:12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. So it's awesome. It really is. Exodus 9:16 gives us a little clue of how long this has been going on, because it didn't just happen after Jesus came in the flesh here. You know, when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, it was pretty plain. When the blood was on the lintel and the post, they got to see the name of God. It says in Exodus 9:16, and in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, that is Pharaoh, have I raised up Pharaoh, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. And it's very interesting, the numbers there. That's Exodus 9:16. And over in Romans 9:17, it says almost the same thing. I guess it's a quote. But and then there's another one here as I'm going by here. 2 Chronicles 6, 32 and 33. Bear with me as I look that up.
2 Chronicles 6.
Second Chronicles 6:32. There we go. Second Chronicles chapter 6, starting verse 32. Moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of thy people, Israel, but is come from a far country, for thy great name's sake, and thy mighty hand, and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from heaven, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee. For that all people of the earth may know thy name. Ooh, God wants all people of the earth to know his name, and to fear thee, as doth my people Israel, and to know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. I think that's worth reading again. That second, I didn't do a very good job the first time, so I get to try again here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that your word never returns void, Lord. I mean, we've been praying to you, Father, and we know that you answer according to your promises in your word. And you said, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So we thank you for restoring all the connections for Blog Talk, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you for answered prayer, because I know Pat's in agreement. I know I'm in agreement. That's at least two of us. Dr. Sabrina's in agreement. And I'm sure there's many others, Brother Bill and others. We thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. It's only because of the blood of the covenant, the blood of Jesus, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Thank you for the privilege of hearing the corn, the wine, and the oil. Hearing the corn, the flesh, the seed. Jesus is that seed. The wine says the glory of children of the fathers over in Proverbs 17:6. I don't want to extrapolate on that, but that's what the word says. And Jesus came in the glory of his Father. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And he wears a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. And oil, the Holy Spirit. We thank you for sending your good spirit to instruct us, to remind us of what Jesus has said. Anyway, I'm going to read 2 Chronicles chapter 6, starting verse 32 again. Moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of thy people Israel, but has come from a far country, thy great namesake. That's what the stranger came, for thy great namesake, for thy mighty hand, thy stretched out arm. If they come and pray in this house, you know where the temple of the Holy Spirit were praying in the house, then hear thou from heaven, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, as doth thy people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we're called by your name, because it says over in Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. You know, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live, which is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 8, but it's over in, I think, Luke 4:4 and Matthew 4:4. Man does not live by bread alone. So what do we get to eat? We get to eat the Word. We get to eat Jesus. He's the Word. He's the seed. It says in Luke 8:11, the seed is the Word of God. So we get, because we're born again, not of corruptible seed. We're not going to one of those companies that makes all those GMO seeds. You know, we've heard that there's some companies out there that have a profit motive that would cause them to want to make a seed that doesn't reproduce itself, a seed that makes it look like a wonderful crop. However, you feed it to cattle and they don't do as well as they do when they eat the stuff that the Lord made without modifying it. But of course, since it doesn't reproduce itself, they have to keep coming back to the seed company to get more. Very clever, those people. Very clever, those people. They just want to bless the farmers, I'm sure. Lord, deliver them from all those deceiving spirits. If I'm murmuring and complaining, I repent, Father. I know you don't inhabit the praises of murmuring. You don't inhabit murmuring and complaining. You inhabit the praises of your people. So we praise and bless you, Father. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, as it is written in Psalm 103. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all your benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities because of the blood of the covenant, who healeth all thy diseases because he took our stripes in our place. Thank you, Jesus, you were punished in our place. Who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction and crowneth thee with loving kindness. Lord Jesus, you are our life. Christ is our life, like it says in Colossians 3. And you have been redeemed from destruction. Hallelujah. You have the power of an endless life. We give you praise and honor, Lord Jesus, who redeemeth thy life from destruction and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. We thank you for crowning us with loving kindness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for loving us and washing us from our sins in your own blood, Lord Jesus. We thank you for keeping us as the apple of your eye. We thank you for engraving our names in the palms of your hand. We thank you, Lord, that you have plans for our peace and not for evil. We're so grateful, Lord, that you're with us, because you said together with God, nothing shall be impossible. We're so grateful, Father, that you heard the Lord Jesus' prayer. Over in John 14:16, he prayed to you, Father, and he only speaks the words you've given him to speak, that you would send the Holy Ghost to be with us, not just for 50 years or 100 years or 1,000 years, but forever. So I have a feeling we're all eternal, because why would he send the Holy Spirit to be with somebody who's not going to be there? So we're very grateful that you've come, Holy Spirit. We thank you for the spirit of adoption. We thank you that we can call upon you, Heavenly Father. We thank you that we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, as it is written in Romans chapter 8. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of being joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's awesome, Father. And you've given us all things, all that we could ever ask or imagine. Thank you for the unspeakable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's hard to fathom that an infinite, eternal, loving creator would send his word, his who became the Son, in the flesh to take all our punishments for us, to bleed and die in our place, so that we could have fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Because we really needed that. Because it's written, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If it wasn't for Jesus washing us in his blood, none of us can make ourselves righteous. It says all our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. It says over in Isaiah, I think it's chapter 64, if I'm not mistaken. All our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. And then there's many others that make it really clear. How about Titus? I haven't read that for a while. Where is it? Getting closer. Past Timothy, here we go. Here we go. Titus chapter 3, starting verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. But Jesus is a Savior. It says God our Savior. I guess he's God too. Isn't that nice? He is. Titus 3:4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, verse 5 of Titus 3. which we have done, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, verse 8, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God must be careful, might be careful to maintain, turn the page, maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. And here's the sobering one in Titus 3:10. But a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. Ooh. Knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Help us all, Lord, not to condemn ourselves, Lord. Help us to examine our own hearts and turn back to you afresh. You said, return to me and I will return to you. You say that over in Malachi, I think it is. Return to me and I'll return. If any of us have done that, Lord, help us to repent, which means to stop doing what we've done, Lord. Because it says, if any man is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. Lord, and if somebody comes to one of us with a word of admonition, help us to weigh, to really consider the fact that you said in your word, Jesus said, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, that is Jesus, receiveth him that sent me, that is Heavenly Father. So when we're receiving a messenger from the Lord, somebody who actually is in a blood covenant relationship with the living God, like Dr. Pat Holliday, Dr. Sabrina, or whoever is, you know, a true servant of God as best they know how, and I know we're all just gorgeous hunks of dust, and we're not flawless like Jesus is, apart from the help of the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit moves through an anointed vessel, he can bring forth. Don't you know that the guy that you think is this great Christian, that he maybe have an antichrist spirit, that he's preaching another gospel and you want to help correct them and they just can't receive it, because guess what? There's a spirit involved. It's not them. You love the person, but there's a spirit, a bewitching spirit. You know, just like Eve was bewitched by the serpent, came along, said, oh, doesn't this fruit look good? You know, you can serve Jesus and be a multimillionaire. You can serve Jesus and be this great pastor and have lots of people send you lots of bucks, which is nothing wrong. I mean, you're supposed to support true ministers of God, but when they're not preaching the real gospel, then there's a little bit of a problem there. That's a big problem, because if that person's cursed and you're supporting them, what happens to you? Anyway, I'm going to read here without any more editorial comments. 2 Timothy 2, starting verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, now beginning in verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, that means the God kind of love, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And verse 24 of 2 Timothy 2, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, that means quarrel. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him, that is the devil, at his will. And yes, of course, this is for unbelievers, but guess what? It can be for somebody who is a believer in Jesus Christ. They even believe in the blood atonement, but maybe they don't believe healings for today. In one area of their life, they've been slightly deceived, and they need to examine their hearts, and then they need to examine the Word. They need to look in the book and say, what I grew up hearing in church, is that really what's in the book? Yes, I've heard Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, like it says over in Hebrews 13, and it says over in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. And yes, he did go about healing all those that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him, as it says in Acts 10:38. So Jesus healed, and then he sent his disciples forth, and they healed, didn't they? Yeah, he did. He sent them forth. Let's see if we can find one of those. I think it's beginning of Luke. I think Luke 9, he sent his 12 disciples, if I'm remembering right. This is going back in the memory bank a little while here. So I have to look it up. Beginning of Luke chapter 9, it says, and he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils, that's A-L-L, all devils, that is all demons, and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So he did that for his 12. And then you go to the beginning of the next chapter in Luke, the beginning of chapter 10, and guess what? It gets expanded. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. I think some of the other funny Bibles say 72, but it's 70. I don't know how they added two in the funny Bibles. Anyway, the ones that aren't founded on the Masoretic text. I'm going by the King James or the Authorized one. Anyway, Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So he wants us to pray to him. So Father, we ask you, Father, to send the Holy Ghost, Heavenly Father, to all those, all family members, all those you've laid on our hearts, Father God, the people in this country and all the countries around the world, because we know you're no respecter of persons, Father. We ask you to send the Holy Ghost, Father, to draw them to the Lord Jesus, because it says over in John chapter 6, I think it's verse 44, no man cometh to the Lord Jesus, save you, draw them. And you tell us, first of all, pray for those in authority. So, Father, we pray first of all for all those in authority, for those that, not just politically, but in churches, in heads of households, heads of corporations, heads of schools, universities, even nursery schools, secondary schools, colleges, graduate schools, seminaries, synagogues. We ask you, Father, to send the Holy Spirit to draw many, untold millions, Father, to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know that's according to your will. As it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, including verse 4, God will have all men to be saved, that is to be sozo, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that real word for sozo in the Greek is sozo, means saved, healed, delivered, preserved, and made whole. See, when everyone not only to be saved and go to heaven, but to be healed while they're here, you don't need healing in heaven. To be saved, healed, delivered from the wiles of the enemy, you don't need that in heaven either. Saved, healed, delivered, preserved, and made whole. Oh, Lord, we do pray that, Father, especially for those Christians involved in the thing that happened in Boston recently, Father. We know how Smith Wigglesworth prayed for a man who had no lower limbs, and you gave him under the unction of your Spirit the word of the living God to tell that man to go and show up at the shoe store the next morning and ask for whatever size shoes he wanted. And the Lord had a gift for him. And that man didn't sleep too well that night. The moment the shoe store was open the next morning, he was there in his wheelchair. He had his money. He knew what he wanted. Size 9, whatever. And he asked for the shoes, and the man said, "Well, you like them gift wrap, or do you want to just carry them as is?" And the man said, "No, I want you to put them on." And he looked at him sort of startled, and he said, "Just put them on these little nubs here." And that man, who was convinced by the Holy Spirit to ask for the shoes to be put on, that the shoe salesman put one shoe on one little nub, and out popped a leg. Because Jesus is the Word of God. He is God the Word. And he spoke to the galaxies, and the galaxies weren't, and then he spoke, and there they were. So this man said, "Just put it on there." And he did, and the man had a leg. And after the shoe salesman got up off the floor and was able to close his mouth again, he said, "And put the other one on this little nub." And the man walked out of the store with his new shoes on. Isn't that awesome? So, Father, we pray for those. I don't know if there are any believers involved in that horrific incident in Boston the other day. Was that yesterday? I don't know. Days are blurring together. It says that you do shorten the days for the elect's sake, Father. It seemed like you're shortening them. So, Father, we ask that you bless those who are and will be believers, Father God, those who've gone through and have had limbs removed, Father, that you'll restore their limbs and bring honor and glory, Father. We ask for creative miracles, Father God, in Jesus' name, because Jesus said, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." And we know that you're their creator, Lord. It's very, very clear that Jesus is the Word of God, and everything was created through him by Father God. We thank you for doing that, Lord. We give you praise. We thank you that you're not only still healing, you're doing creative miracles, Father, that you're doing, making people every whit whole, even as you said about the leper. There was only a Samaritan who came back, and he was made whole. The other 9 lepers were healed, but they didn't have their fingers restored or their whatever, that the nose had been eaten up by leprosy. It wasn't, leprosy went away and they were still deformed. But the one who came back to give honor and glory to God, he was made whole, every whit whole. So if he was missing fingertips or ears or nose, it was restored. I mean, if God is no respecter of persons, if he can do that for a lobster, you rip off his claw and he can get a new claw. You know, I know people don't see it on humans very often, but can't he do that? Isn't he God? Can't he do exceeding abundantly more than we can ask or imagine? So, yeah, he definitely heals today. I've seen it myself. He's healed me of many things. I was taking thyroid medicine for 30 years, and I got to repent of my sins, and I got some people to speak words in faith over me and cast out some nasty spirits. And then I just followed up with my doctor, and lo and behold, I didn't need any more thyroid medicine. Isn't that awesome? That's been 10 years since I stopped taking it. I took it for 30 years, and then 10 years ago I stopped taking it, and it's been just wonderful. And then I used to have to take stuff for indigestion, which I'd had after a door point of my brother dying, and spirit of fear and all that nasty stuff that came into me in abundance when he died. And then guess what? I got to repent. I got to forgive people. People cast out nasty spirits out of me that knew what they were doing. And guess what? Well, I haven't needed to take all those Tums and Pepcid and Mylanta and all that stuff for indigestion because I don't have it anymore. That belonged to the enemy. It went back to from whence it came. You know, when God created Adam and Eve in our image, that's plural, God the Father, God the Word, you know, guess what? by the unction, you know, by the finger of God, guess what? He said it was very good. They weren't walking around with crutches. They didn't need canes. They didn't need special shoes or anything. In fact, they were scampering around buck naked for a while until the enemy got into them, literally into them, and then they found out that they got to know evil. They got to experience evil on the inside, and that's what messed up the human race many, many years ago. So we thank you, Father, for the revelations that you give, that we can repent and get rid of that nasty stuff. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I think there's a scripture over in, if Pat's back and wants to talk, I'm happy to be quiet. I keep hearing little things. Maybe she's coming soon. I believe that by faith. It says over in Mark 7, I think this is Jesus speaking after the cross. Let's see if I can find it here. This is very helpful for people. At least it was helpful for me. Maybe this will help somebody else. Because you may not know that a Christian, in some area of their life, may not be perfected yet. I mean, you know, you could look in the mirror yourself. You probably have a clue. But, of course, in churches, you're told that it's all over with, that the moment you accept Jesus, you're perfect, that your spirit's made completely wonderful and recreated and everything's fine. But there's some questions if that doesn't quite fit with Scripture, like in 2 Corinthians 7:1. I'm going to read that, and I'm going to go back to Mark 7 in just a second. But 2 Corinthians 7, the first verse, bear with me. 2 Corinthians 7:1. This is written to believers, okay? Maybe I'll go back a couple of verses from the previous chapter to get the flow going. I'm going back to verse... Where do I go, Lord? I'm going to go back to verse 14 just because it's a good verse to start with. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? You know, those who worship Baal. You know, a different fallen, you know, a demon basically. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. That's something we need to remember. For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And the last verse of chapter 6, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, so this is written to the dearly beloved, the believers, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's a very sobering verse, is it not? We need, as believers, to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Like this, if you look online sometime later, you can look up false Holy Ghost, Kundalini Spirit. There's a talk, you can find it right online. If you're, you know, just Google false Holy Ghost, Kundalini. And it was spelled with a K. And there it is. It's like, oh my goodness. Anyway, and you can see a demonstration of that if you're ever interested. You could type in, go on YouTube and type in Kenneth Copeland, or type in Copeland Hagen on YouTube. And there's a demonstration. And I didn't know that many, many years. And I know Papa Hagen started off in the right vein. He was doing great work for the Lord. And then a little mixture came in, you know, a little leaven at the lump. So we need to be wise as serpent, harmless as doves. And I don't hate the man. I don't hate anybody. I don't hate Kenneth Copeland. I don't hate any human being. We just need to pray for them. So, Father, deliver all those ministers that have been bewitched by spirits, Father God, that have been taken captive by seducing spirits, Father God, because our battle is not against flesh and blood. I love all peoples, Father God, in Jesus. And we ask you to deliver them because it's written in your word. Because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And that's the last like three verses of Psalm 91, which is a very powerful covenant promise in the scripture for believers. Very powerful. Anyway, I'm going to start reading in Mark 7. I haven't forgotten. Isn't that nice? There's a man I heard who went preaching, I think it was in South Africa, and there was a man who just came to give, you know, like tip his hat kind of thing, to say, you know, I went to his meeting, I'm going to go home. He was a very busy man. He was in charge of 60 different churches, and he was a, you know, he was like an overseer, but he went to this man's meeting just to, you know, to show his respects, because he was there with I don't know which group he was with right now. It might have been Youth with a Mission or something, but to share some insights that he'd been given by the Holy Spirit. And so he was saying, you know, where do Christians have problems? A lot of people think they're from without. And this man got to point to the scriptures from Jesus preaching before the cross and Paul preaching after the cross, and they both happen to be, one's in Mark 7, starting around verse 15, and if you happen to, if we don't get to finish it, if Pat comes on, you can look it up yourself later. I think it's in Romans chapter 7, starting also around verse 15. Just makes it easy to remember. So I'm going to start reading in Mark 7, verse 15, because we need to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. For there's nothing from without a man that entereth into him can defile him. For the thing which cometh out of, for the things which come out of him, those are they which defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, here's Jesus speaking again, are you so without understanding also? Marshall, don't you get it yet? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into the heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. In other words, your digestive tract takes care of it. You know, you flush it away. Some people call it Charmin land, but we don't need to push any particular brand of toilet tissue with it. Thank you, Lord. You know, a human being needs to be fed in the physical. We need to be fed spiritually, spiritual meat. And we need to cleanse ourselves physically, you know, brush our teeth, take showers, and go to the bathroom. But we need to cleanse ourselves spiritually, don't we? So that's, you know, there's, you know, first in the natural, then in the spiritual, as it says. Because it entereth not into the heart, but into the belly. So if we eat something nasty and pray over it, it goes out into the draught, into Charmin land, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man, or the person. From within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And guess who's saying that? The Lord Jesus Christ, who's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I think he knows what he's talking about. He's God the Word. So anyway, so there's a little clue that we need to be careful what comes out of our mouth. It says death and life is in the power of the tongue. I think that's Proverbs 21:18. I could be wrong. I can actually look it up real quick. Proverbs 21:18. Where's 18? No, that's not it. Huh. Okay, maybe I got the numbers reversed. 18? Oh, I'd have the numbers switched around. Deliver me from dyslexia, Lord, or any other ungodly spirit in Jesus' name. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So that's Proverbs 18:21. Help me to remember that, Father, in Jesus' name. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And the next verse is a good one, by the way, for the married folks like me. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth the favor of the Lord. That's good to remember. That's his perspective. So our perspective better line up with his perspective, right? So we got Jesus' perspective before the cross. And then guess what happens? This is New Testament. And in Romans chapter 8, I mean, chapter, where was I? 7. And this is a little challenging in the King James, but we'll hopefully get it clear enough. There's a King James Easy Read Bible out there where they make it a little bit easier, but not much. Romans 7, the Holy Spirit will make it easy because that's what we need to understand the word anyway. Romans 7, this is Apostle Paul speaking after the cross, Romans 7:15. For that which I do, I allow not. In other words, here's the apostle saying, the things I want to do, I can't do it. For what I would do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. In other words, he wants to do good. Like if the scripture says, forgive your brother so I can forgive you, he wants to forgive. But maybe there's a little grudge that tries to, well, I'm not saying it did, but I'm just saying because that would be a very nasty thing to have happen, to, especially to an apostle, let alone any Christian. But if we had a little grudge trying to get a foothold in us, that could give the enemy legal right to make us sick. We don't want to go there. And then it says in verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. This is an apostle of more than 20 years who's admitting he, as a Christian, not just a Christian, but a rather profound Christian who wrote a good chunk of the New Testament under the unction of the Holy Spirit, that he had indwelling sin, which is a disembodied evil spirit. Okay? That's pretty powerful. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that do I. In other words, if the scripture says, forgive, and then he doesn't forgive, then what he's saying, that Satan's law of unforgiveness is better than Jesus' law of forgiveness. And he's making Satan Lord in some small area of his life. That's a pretty nasty area. We don't want to go there. So we have to be very, very careful. But that's basically what he's saying here in Romans chapter 7, starting around verse 15. And this is for New Testament. This is for today. And I'm sorry that actually, it's actually refreshing that a great man of God would admit that he struggled with indwelling sin, like it says in verse 17, but sin that dwelleth in me. That he's working on cleansing himself from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Are you there, Pat? I thought I heard somebody. Okay. For the good that I would, versus verse 19, for the good that I would, like forgiving somebody, I do not, like he carries the grudge. But the evil which I would not, like carrying a grudge, that I do. So you see, he's really struggling here. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He's making it really clear that he had something in him, you know, like somebody could have a rat or a cockroach in their kitchen. Their kitchen is not a cockroach. You know, the Apostle Paul was not sin. But in the little area of his life, you know, he had a little cockroach hanging out in there. For I find then a law that, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But, in verse 23, I see another law in my members, warring against the law in my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Verse 25, thank you, Lord. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. In other words, the flesh does not mean, you know, that his body by itself is thinking, because to think requires a mind, okay? So there's something has to be thinking to do this. So his flesh here is not like you have something like a piece of chicken for dinner or something. Chicken, apart from the mind and the little chicken when it's running around, when you're just having a piece of whatever. If you're looking at your hand isn't thinking by itself. It does say, as a man believeth in his heart. I think they're actually brain cells the scientists have found in human hearts. That's pretty profound. But we think in our hearts and we think in our heads. But you have to be able to think to be able to, you know, which is why they admonish us so strongly. The Word of God admonishes in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, to hold every thought captive, because we get thoughts from three places. And a lot of Christians don't know that. And if you read with an open mind, open eyes, open heart, and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, read Matthew 16, because it makes it really clear. Jesus spoke to his disciples, who do men say that I am? And he said, some say you're the prophet, some say you're Elijah, or whatever. And then the apostle Peter says, you're the Son of God, you know, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. So the Apostle Peter there got revelation from Father God that Jesus is the Messiah, the long-expected anointed one, okay, that's been foretold in Scripture, like in Psalm 45, verses 6 and 7, and Daniel chapter 9. There's several places it talks about the anointed one or the Messiah. Well, that Jesus is the Messiah. And then just a couple verses later, the Apostle Peter is listening to other voices, okay? And he says, when Jesus said he's going to have to suffer and die for them, he said, far be it from you, Lord, to have to do all these things. So here is the Apostle Peter, who just got revelation from Father God that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And a couple of verses later, he's telling him, oh, no, you don't have to go to the cross and die for us. And Jesus said, you know, you don't savor the things that be of God. Get thee behind me, Satan. Of course, Peter is not Satan, just like the Apostle Paul was not Satan. They're people like you and me, and they're great believers and great men of God, used powerfully by the Lord. They had their challenges, as we all do. But that's the whole point, is that it's not us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Isn't that good news? That he gets to move in by the power of his Spirit, and it's not by human might, it's not by human power, it's by his Spirit in us, and he can change us. And even as the Apostle Paul could help share from his heart that he had struggles, and we know Peter had big-time struggles. He even denied the Lord. But Jesus was so compassionate. You know, when he sent messengers, go tell my disciples and Peter, you know, that I've gone before you into Galilee or whatever. He wanted to make sure Peter knew he's not out of the mix. Because Peter had wept bitterly when he denied the Lord. But Peter was a real zealous man for the Lord, and yet he was just a man. And when he thought, gee, they're going to crucify him, what about me? Do I want to get nailed to a cross? Well, we won't know till it comes if we're going to have to lay down our lives for the Lord, how we're going to respond. But help us all, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, to do what a little young, there was a believer over in France many years ago when they were getting rid of the so-called heretics. The Roman Catholic Church wanted to get rid of these Protestants, and there was a French Huguenot woman, a young woman with a brand new baby, and they said, you renounce your faith in Jesus, you know, not according to the Roman Catholic Church, or we're going to hang you. And she said, well, let me just nurse my child one more time. Let us all have that kind of faith that we couldn't possibly deny the Lord Jesus. And they didn't have formula back then, you know. Not everybody had a wet nurse right around the corner either. You know, that is being sold out for Jesus. And that's where we all need to be. We need to know that he's worth everything, because he gave us everything. Did he not pour out all of his life for us? Did he withhold anything? You know, he said over in Psalm... I hear somebody talking. Is Pat there? I think I hear Dr. Sabrina carrying on. I hear somebody carrying on. Anyway, praise the living God. He loves us all, and that's what makes it worth it. When we get a glimpse of his love. Hi there.
Hi, I'm sorry. I was here listening. I went to talk to Dr. Holliday. Is she there tonight?
Well, she's been here, and Blog Talk Radio was having some technical difficulties.
Okay.
And they're trying to get it fixed, and I'm not sure how you clicked in, but that's wonderful.
Yeah, I
heard another voice, and I didn't know who it was. May I ask your first name?
Certainly, it's Carrie.
Was it Curry?
Yeah, Carrie.
Carrie.
Carrie, yes.
Well, I think Pat is listening to this, and I don't know how she's going to connect in. Maybe she could call in. I don't know. Maybe she could do it by phone instead of through the computer. I'm not sure how that works for her.
Yes, because I just called, and when I hit 1 to talk to the host, it connected me to the line. But I was hearing you, but I wasn't quite sure what was happening.
Yeah, well, I got on a while ago. Pat called me. I have a call waiting, and she said that the Blog Talk people contacted her, and said they apologized. They were having technical difficulties, and it was a Blog Talk wide, not just her program, problem.
Okay.
And so, of course, the enemy doesn't like it when the word of the Lord is going forth. So he also gets his little, tries to mess things up.
Okay.
But Pat is probably hearing you, and maybe you could ask your question, and maybe, what is today, maybe on Friday's broadcast, if you can call in again, you can get your answer. She's not able to call in to give it to you right now. Or maybe the Holy Spirit will give her some insights. But anyway, why don't you ask your question or whatever.
Well, it's not really a question. It's just a situation I wanted to talk to her about. I tried to email her, but I didn't get a reply, and it's a long story. So.
Okay.
That I need
well,
her help in, but I don't know what her valid email address is. I had a Gmail one from the website, but and I sent two emails and I didn't get a reply, so I don't
well,
know.
Well, she's a very busy lady.
I imagine so.
Yes. And, but she's, you know, normally she's here when she normally takes calls at the end of each broadcast about
okay.
this time, and hopefully she'll be back up shortly, so you can either bear with us and see if she comes back up shortly, which she may, because we've been praying and the technicians are working also, and more importantly, the Word of God always works.
Absolutely.
Because His promises are always yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know He heareth us. And if He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the promises that he's going to give us the answer. Now, we might have need of patience to inherit the promises, and that's just the way He does things sometimes. So,
yeah, well, then I can wait because it would continue for another, 15 minutes or 20 minutes or so?
It's supposed to go till 10:30.
10:30? Okay.
Yep. Okay, so if you want to just listen or call back in on Friday, between 7:30 mm-hmm. and 10:30, that would be fine. She takes calls mm-hmm. usually the last hour or so.
Okay, I can call in on Friday, though. I'll just hold on a bit to see, you know, if she comes on. If she doesn't, then I'll have to try back another time then.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, the Lord bless you and ask
Thank
Him.
You.
You know, it says Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom. And it says, if any man, that goes for women too, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it will be given him. Of course, you have to ask in faith, nothing wavering. You have to expect Him to answer you. And then if the Holy Spirit sort of prompts you to read a little section of Scripture, you might not feel like reading, say, But you might want to just start reading it anyway.
Okay.
And because, you know, it's amazing how He can do that. He can order our steps through the Word and say, oh, look at this little, I never saw that before. So he teaches us as believers through His Word. So you know, leave yourself open to that, because a lot of people say, you know, they want to hear Jesus talk to them. Well, they can. You pick up a King James Bible, and you start reading it out loud. And you get, especially the red letters that are Jesus, you get to hear what He has to say about it, you know?
Yes, I definitely know that He's very powerful, and He can, you know, communicate in so many different ways. You just have to be receptive. Yeah.
Amen. Well, God bless you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. And while you're up, let's just pray quickly. Father,
okay.
It says, if two of you on earth agree to touching anything you ask, it shall be done for them. My Father, which is in heaven. Father, we ask you to give this young lady the answers that she needs, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask you to give the technicians the answers they need to get the Blog Talk program back up and working properly, quickly, in Jesus' name. And we're in agreement according to your promise because of the blood of the covenant, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So thank you, Father.
Amen.
In
Thank
Jesus'
you.
Name. God bless you.
Thank you. Same to you. God bless you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word that's forever settled in heaven, Lord. Praise the living God. Thank you, Lord. It says, He withheld not His own Son, but freely gave Him up for us all. How shall He not also with Him also freely give us all things? And He will. We just have to know that that's His heart. You know, a lot of people, because they haven't had a great relationship with their natural father, I don't know about how many of you, but I've heard different people have done a poll that even in churches that usually the vast majority, sometimes well over 90% of the people have never had their natural father express to them in a meaningful way, you know, I love you. not only to tell them, but to express it, that they could really believe it. And when they have not had that from their natural daddy, then somehow that becomes a filter. And when people hear about Father God, they have this sort of, it's good to have a reverence for God, but it's more than a reverence. People have like a, you know, they just have this terrible fear in an unhealthy way. They don't think they can approach him. And of course they can't apart from Jesus, but I mean, they can't even approach him in Christ. And that's really, you know, that's really sad, but it's so wonderful to know that can be changed. I had a man come up to me once who stood in for my father. He was about 20 years younger than I, but he stood in for my natural father, and he said, "Son, I want to ask you to please forgive me for not having been there for you in all those times when you needed me. I want to ask you to forgive me for not telling you that I'm really proud of you, that I'm pleased with who you've grown up to be, and can you forgive me for not telling you how much I love you?" And this man stood in for my natural dad, and I know it wasn't my dad, but he was just, you know, explaining, expressing something that all loving fathers would want to express to their children. And something in me in the spirit realm broke, and like this hard stone wall around my heart came crumbling down, and I could have my heart open to our Heavenly Father. And I pray that for everyone who's his and will be listening, in Jesus' name. Because when we do that, when we can have an open relationship with our Heavenly Father who really does love us, then we don't have to be afraid of him in an ungodly way. It's good to have a reverence for God, especially Jesus the Word. Because a lot of people think, you know, I'm going to have to stand, you know, and God's going to have to judge me someday, even for every idle word and all that. Well, yeah, but a lot of people forget who they're standing before. If we're Christians, then, let's see if I remember where it is, we get to stand before Jesus, and he's just. where is it here, Lord? I know it's in a bunch of different places. I'm just trying to remember at least one of them here to get started. I thought it was in Romans 14, but I could be mistaken. I thought that was one of them. I know it's in 2 Corinthians. I guess this Bible isn't marked. This is a newer Bible. I haven't been using it as long. I have several of them that I go through. They're just made in the natural of paper, and yet the word is forever settled in heaven. Where is it? 2 Corinthians. Where is that, Lord? 10? Anyway, it says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, which is very sobering, you know, to give an answer for what we've done. You know, what have we done with his instructions for us? And we're going to see our lives pass before us, I believe, and everything will be exposed. And we'll have an opportunity. I think it's 2 Corinthians, is it 5? I can't believe I don't have these marked. Oh, here it is. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That's pretty sobering. So we're not, as believers, we don't have to stand before Father God. Yeah, it was Romans 14:10, and there's a couple of other scriptures that go along with that. But this one is in 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And you know, yes, we're saved by grace because of the blood of Jesus, and because we repent of our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus loves us and washes us from our blood, washes us from our sin in his own blood. But a lot of people don't know how much Father God loves us, because it says over in 2 Timothy, I think it's That's where the 2 Timothy 4, 10. Herein is love. I'll see if I got the right address for that in a second here. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. 2 Timothy 4. Is it 2 Timothy or 4?
Marshall, can you hear me?
I can hear you clearly.
Okay, I'm calling in on my phone. I couldn't get in through my computer.
Yeah, there was a lady who wanted to talk to you, and I thought maybe if you could just call in from your phone, you might be able to answer her. Pray for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, right
Thank
now,
God.
We're just having so much problems. My computer is can't even get into the show. So we tried everything. I've got my son here, and finally, I'm just calling in a number like anybody else.
Good for you. That works.
What you do now is instead of calling to talk to the host, he's being a host right now. He's
yeah, now, you're a host right now.
So,
okay.
Sabrina, see if they can hear me on the chat room.
Yeah, that's what you're wondering about
there. You can hear me? Okay, you interview because you're the host now.
Okay, well, Pat, I was having as you were coming up, I was looking for a verse and I forgot where it was, and it's in 1 John 4:10. I know the verse, but I forgot the address. The Holy Spirit reminded me. 1 John 4:10. It says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And then it says over in Romans 3:25, whom God set forth a propitiation or substitution sacrifice through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. I think a lot of people need to know that they know that they know that Father God loves them. Because a lot of people have a, you know, like an arm's length or maybe, you know, a lot further distance in their relationship with their Heavenly Father. And the Heavenly Father is looking for us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, anointed with the Holy Spirit, and in Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So we can worship the Father in spirit and truth, because that's what He's looking for. He just wants to walk with each of us in the cool of the day. So, Pat, there's a dear lady who called in, and she has some questions, and she may pick up her phone now that she hears that you're on and ask you some questions. So I don't know if that lady is still listening, but if you'd like to ask Dr. Pat Holliday.
I don't have anybody plugged in the phone on. I can still see the switchboard here.
Right.
And I can manipulate it, the switchboard.
Right.
What I can't do is I'm not through the computer as the host.
Okay.
And so I can talk to you. I don't know if I can plug into anybody else. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Just before you came up, some lady started asking me.
We don't need to even talk about her. She's gone.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if she could come back. Anyway, she was listening.
Yeah.
I don't know where she came from. I just wanted to put that out there. Anyway, Pat.
What was her question?
Well, she didn't tell me. I suggest you said it was a long story, so whatever. Her choice.
Well, okay. We've got a radio program going.
Yep, we've got half an hour.
What we were talking about was the gifts of the Spirit, the prophecy. And the devil just really evidently hated us to talk about that. So, the gift of prophecy, I was telling them the difference between the gift of prophecy as it's shown in the Bible and the gift of demonic prophecy and how that worked. And the problem is, Marshall, all over the body of Christ, the people that I've known all of my life, those people are caught up under this divinating spirit where people are coming through the churches and they're standing up there prophesying over every single person in the church, and the prophecies are about people's personal lives. And, you know, the gift of prophecy was not given to us to be divinators. God is not a fortune teller, in other words.
No.
The gift of prophecy was given to us to exhort the church and to comfort the church, and it can tell the past, and it can foretell the future. But the problem is that people are coming in, and the prophet will stand up, "Thus saith the Lord, God has a mighty call on your life, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that, and he's going to give you all of this money." And you're sitting there looking at the person, and, you know, the Lord gives, particularly if you cast out devils, you have the discerning of spirits. And you know that person is never going to do those things. I had two of them to come into my church for one of the liberal churches here in Jacksonville not very long ago. And one of them said, "I received a prophecy that I was going to be casting out devils." And so I said, "Well, this is the place where you should come if you want to know about casting out devils, because that's what we do here." And they came about three times, and then they're gone. And you look at it and you say, "God, that is nothing but a mess. It is nothing but a big mess going on, twisting people's lives." And instead of seeking the Lord in the Word, they're running around seeking the Lord through somebody else.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that you, over the years, somebody has given you a word, but and it was a valid word. But what I'm saying is people are just not seeking that close, tight relationship with the Lord. And I know that when the Lord called me, he personally called me. Nobody prophesied that I was going to be in the ministry. Nobody prophesied what he was going to do with me. He told me. And so that's the point that I was trying to make, is that words are very, very, very powerful, and that we are in the church need to know that either Jesus is going to plot and plan our lives within the scope of the word, and we're going to follow him, or we're going to be like bouncing ball Christians running after this person and that person to make this other person's prophecy come true in our life.
Yeah, it's put people under a lot of strange ideas, you know.
Yeah.
And they try to force their life to fit into it. And, you know, when I've had people say things to me, I've not gone off and say, "Yeah, right." But I also haven't gone, you know, "Be it done unto me according to thy word," because I wasn't sure about their word, you know. I just listened. I just meditated. You know, I did like Mary did. I pondered these things in my heart, basically. And then over the years, I know I've shared with you that there was a man who I heard about who was supposedly a genuine prophet, and somebody interviewing him asked, "Well, when you get a word, can you just walk up to anybody at will and give them a word from the Lord?" And he said, "Absolutely not. It's only if the Holy Spirit moves me can I do that." And
yeah.
You know, and then the scripture you were alluding to earlier before the technical difficulties, it's in 1 Corinthians 14:3. "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort." So prophecy isn't always a "thus saith the Lord," you know, "you're going to go out and do this, this, and this." It can be edifying people, you know, exhorting them, and to comfort them. Because, I mean, there's some basic things there. You know, even as Jesus did, basically, with the churches in the beginning of Revelation, you know, "You're doing this well. You know, you also hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. However, you know, there's this one area. You've left your first love. You need to get back to, you know, you know, if you're reading the word, get back to reading the word. You need to get back to worshiping me or whatever. He didn't say that, but you need to get back to your first love. And I think that's what a true prophet, because it says Jesus is the spirit of prophecy in Revelation, I think it's chapter 19. So he's an example because he fulfilled all three offices. He's our king, he's our high priest, and he's the prophet in one person.
Yeah.
So he gave us a pretty good
example.
Well,
the other thing is if you're following a prophet or a prophetess, what usually happens is they get total control over your life, and then they begin to push you in whatever directions that either the demon that's prophesying through them, or they push you in the direction where their spirit wants you to go. And you're disconnected from the Spirit of God, because 1 Kings 19:12 says, God spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice.
Mm.
And so then when you look over in Jeremiah 1:9, it says, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And this scripture over there that says that the prophet spoke, but I didn't speak, you know. And so you have to, a prophecy that comes from a prophet or somebody, you can get a prophecy, for instance, Marshall, and have never prophesied before, and God can speak through you and give somebody a message through you, and then it never happened again.
Right.
Because at that particular time, you are a committed person, a holy child of God, and God wants that other person to know something, and he just uses you as a vessel.
Right.
And so, but it's been so abused in these last years, and particularly with the third wave movement.
Yeah.
And, you know, in Acts 10:19-20, it's Acts 2:17, it says, in the last days, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So these are certainly the last days. And I believe that the Lord wants people walking in this particular gift, because the church certainly does need to sometimes be rebuked. Sometimes it needs to be edified. And at other times it needs comfort. And that's what the spirit of prophecy is, coming from God. He's not a fortune teller. He can give you warnings like he did Paul. Don't go to Jerusalem. You know, stuff like that.
Right.
Alter your course. But if I said to you, Marshall, the Lord told me for you to do this and this. It's up to you to get in fasting and prayer and say, God, is that what you want me to do? Because usually a prophecy will be a confirmation of something that God has already said to you. So that's there's much confusion in the church, because the pastors really have fallen into a very powerful, or under a very powerful, bewitching, divinating spirit in most of these churches. And you go to church and they're either laughing for 45 minutes, they're squirming around on the floor like snakes, or they're preaching a strange gospel that you've never heard, or they've got some woman up there prophesying they're over people like a fortune teller, or they've got an angel up there assisting somebody to bring gold dust and jewels to scatter them around the church. Just all kinds of error. So our goal, as you and I talked about when we started this Blog Talk Radio show, we know that there's a lack of teaching in the body of Christ, and particularly from the King James Version of the Bible, because we know this. And so we said, well, we want to teach. We want to minister. And we want them to know what's happening to them whenever we minister to them. So that's why we spend so much time in the Word before we pray for people. And see, with all of the Word of God that's being delivered up here on Blog Talk, when the people come up on Blog Talk, if they're really sincere about their Christian life, what they would be doing is taking notes, and they would be checking us out to see if what we're saying is so. That's the first thing. Yep. The next thing is God would take something that you would say that hits somebody's heart, and they would say, you know something, I've always wondered about that. I'm going to go check that out. And when they go and check out what you said, then Jesus will build on what you said into their heart. That's the way teaching works. But you see, we're dealing and ministering to people that are used to just passively receiving anything anybody says to them. And so we are trying to help them to grow so that if the day comes that Blog Talk goes off the air and they can't hear Marshall or Pat or Dr. Sabrina anymore, that God will bring all of this back to their remembrance, and they'll say, oh, yes, I remember. If I bind this spirit, it will be bound. And the way they know that for sure is that they do and practice what we're teaching them. So that was what the purpose of this program, you know, Blog Talk was for. Now, I have some people that call me and try to get through to me that what they want is for me to become their personal little evangelist. And nobody knows the work that I do. You can ask Sabrina. I'm working sometimes 24 hours a day because I don't have help. It's just like what's going on tonight. I don't know enough about computers I know Blog Talk itself was messed up tonight, but because they told me. But I don't know about computers. I'm not an engineer, and I'm not a sound person. So I'm having to do that. We're having to teach. Then we pray for people. I'm doing everything is what I'm saying to you. And when I'm not up on Blog Talk, you know, I'm working on articles. I'm working on books. I'm doing all sorts of things that is required in the ministry for someone to do. And I'm it. Me and Pastor Dennis and Pastor Izzy and Dr. Sabrina and you and Brother Bill, that's it. And we've got a worldwide ministry that goes all over the world. So I can get to what I can get to is what I'm saying. And
well, I think you do very well. And I know a lot of people are grateful, like that woman who called in with a testimony about how her 18-year-old daughter, her heart was completely made whole, and you know, valves that looked like they needed to be operated on didn't need to be operated on anymore. So we're grateful to the Lord because we know you didn't do that. I didn't do that.
No.
Lord did it. Father sent his word and healed that girl, restored that girl. And he loves each one of us. We just have to line up with him, and then it happens. But we sometimes need to build up our faith, and we need to know the truth from the error, because it talks about a spirit of error. And you know, some of the churches I visited, I was in a group because the church I was at for 7 years, the pastor was looking to me to try and help him out for a while. And so he got me connected with this group of pastors that met monthly. And I went to a lot of different churches. And I saw a lot of these charismatic Pentecostal-type churches. And I saw a lot of them had symbols of female angels. And I talked to a couple of them. And I said, hey, you know, the only place in Scripture talks about female angels is over in Zechariah chapter 5. And I said, they're not depicted as something you want in your church, because it says over in Zechariah chapter 5, starting in verse 4, I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts. It shall enter into the house of the thief and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. Somebody who swears falsely by his name. And then you go down to a couple of verses here. And he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it into, that's in verse 8. And I lifted up mine eyes in verse 9 and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. So this is the only place in Scripture. Angels are always depicted as messengers, and they don't usually, I mean, except for the rare exceptions of, you know, like the cherubs and all of that, and the seraphim and stuff. They're not depicted as having wings, and they're not depicted as women. And so here's a description of female angel types that are, it's wickedness, it says, and they're swearing falsely by his name. And I've seen that. You know, I didn't know it was false at the time, but, you know, you said you'll know them by their fruit, right? So
yeah.
You just wait and see what kind of fruit comes of all this. And then you pretty soon you get to realize, you know, you don't get grapes from a bramble bush, like it says in the Scripture. So, you know, the gift of discernment starts to kick in. You say, this may not be from the Lord, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's where most of the people are, that they're trying to figure out what's real and what's
and
not real.
You see, that's the point, is that in order for them to figure out what's real and what's not real, they have to think for themselves, and they have to think within the scope of Jesus and his word. And so that's why we come up and we preach in the very beginning and give them scriptures and tell them, well, this is why the gift of prophecy works, or this is why the gifts of faith works, because the Scripture says this and it says that. And
right.
You give them a basis for them to take what you've said to them and go look that up. And then God can implant the word in their heart and confirm the word that we have taught them in their heart. And then it becomes a reality to that individual. So that's what Blog Talk is all about. It's about setting the captives free, healing the sick, teaching the Word of God, and it's about spiritual growth that will occur in the people if they will follow the plan that God gave us so that they can grow in the Spirit. Now, the other aspect of this, Marshall, is this. The Bible says that there will be a famine in the land. I think it's over in Amos.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yep.
And it says it's not a famine of food, although that's coming too, but it's a famine for the Word of God. And so then over in the New Testament, the Scripture says, they shall gather teachers to tickle their ears. And so it's the people that gather the teachers. So God gives them a choice. Here's a teacher that I've called, that I've trained, that know my word, that can do miracles, that have the gift of deliverance, that I have chosen for such a time as this. But they can see one of these third wave ministers, such as Todd Bentley, and he's up there making a show and blaspheming constantly the name of Jesus because he's drunk on alcohol by his own confession, and he's in a sexual relationship against his marriage as he's up there supposedly under the anointing of God. And why would they go and choose a teacher like Todd Bentley, who you look at without any discernment of spirit and understand this man is not of God? Why would they choose that particular person or that group of people instead of coming up under a chosen person that God? God is using. Well, you see, when they get under a true, honest to God, anointed ministry that's giving out the word, they're going to learn the full scope of the word. They're going to learn, hey, you can't go to heaven and be in adultery and go to the witches on Thursday and come to the prayer meeting on Wednesday. God is not a mixture. His word is pure and holy, and his word will make you pure and holy. But if their flesh is saying, yeah, but I want to do this and that too. Marshall, I just wrote an article. I didn't want to write it, but I turned in and I discovered that a local ministry, a big, huge local ministry here in Jacksonville, and everybody knows that it is one of the purpose-driven churches, and it's very, very loose in their belief systems. And they've reached out and they've captured thousands of the young people in Jacksonville. And they're in these New Age dancings. And somebody sent it to me, and I watched the video, and I just broke down and I wept.
Mm.
And I said, Lord, I said, you know, they've got thousands. They've got not only thousands of people coming to them, but they have the finances and they have the open doors to get their ministries through to the media and all of this and that. And I said, I looked today and we've touched close to 98,000 people since we've been up here, which hasn't been all that long. And I'm real happy about that. But, Marshall, they're touching people all over the world. And I'm saying, God, you know, our little church here in Jacksonville is battered, and we touch who we can. And I ride by those phony churches, and I know what they teach. I've studied what they teach. And they're just packed out. I said, is it to the point in America now where it was in the days of Lot when they were trying to make the, well, is there 50 left? Is there 40 left? And finally it got down to 10,
mm-hmm.
and God had to destroy the city because there was only 8, and that was Lot's family. I said, is this where we almost are? Because that's what it's beginning to look to be like. So what I'm telling the people, if you find the truth, grab it, hang on to it. It's precious. You're not going to find it many places today. Hang on to it and study and stay close to Jesus, because I think that we're very, very, very close to the coming of the Lord. And there is nothing, there's no thing that you do with your body that's worth giving Jesus up. I'm going to send you, I'm going to have this article out, and I'll put it on Friday night for people to copy it. But I'm going to tell you something. They had young people up there wiggling their bodies around in this church, dancing, looking like they were absolutely having sexual sex, perverse sex. One guy had a motor, like something that looked like a motorboat, a scooter, and he had crammed it between his legs and looked like he was having sex with that board. And I looked at it and I said, God, I said, I thought Todd Bentley was really bouncing crazy. This is some of the craziest. This is something that my mind couldn't even conceive. So we're right there where you better look for the goods. And when God brings you across somebody, check them out very closely with the word. And if you find somebody teaching the word, not only you hang on to them, but spread the word to your friends to come. Be an evangelist. We give of ourselves. When we come up on Blog Talk, Brother Marshall, He's a businessman. He's a very busy man. He's totally committed and sold out to Jesus. And so is Dr. Sabrina, myself, and the other people involved. But we do this for Jesus first, but we do it because we're quite aware of the times of seasons that we're in. Marshall, we've got one call, and I just noticed that we've only got a few minutes, so I'm going to plug in and see what that's about, okay?
All right.
Let's see. 661, you're on the air.
Yes, sir, this is Sylvia.
Hello. You have to talk right into your phone.
Yes, I want to know if I could get a prayer.
Okay.
I've been having my legs been burning every day in the night. They feel like they're burning. I'm having nightmares, black widows biting me in my legs. I saw snakes on my body, on my chest, and centipedes. And it's been like that. And last night, too, I've been getting attacked or something by something bad.
Mm-hmm. What church do you go to?
Excuse me?
What kind of church do you go to?
Well, I was going to, I stopped going to the Christian church. I don't go to church right now.
Oh, well, are you born again?
No.
Well, that's the very first thing that you have to do. And so we're going to stay on the air a little bit longer. And Brother Marshall's going to lead you to the Lord, and it's very simple. All you have to do is tell him you're sorry for your sins and repent and ask him to come and live in your heart. Can you do that now?
Yes.
All right, say, Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Jesus.
I ask you to forgive me.
I ask you to forgive me.
Of all of my sins.
All my sins.
And come and live in my heart.
And come and live in my heart.
And be my personal Savior.
And be my personal Savior.
I'm sorry for every sin that I have ever committed.
I'm sorry for every sin that I have been committed.
And I thank you, Jesus.
And I thank you, Jesus.
That you call me into your church.
That you call me into your church.
Now, you know what the church is? It's you, me, Marshall, and all the people that are listening, everyone that has repented from their sins. Now, Marshall is going to give you a couple of scriptures, and what we want you to do is to come back up next Friday, this coming Friday, and we'll minister some more to you. But he's going to give you a couple of scriptures. I want you to go up to
Miracle
Internet Church, miracleinternetchurch.com.
Okay.
Listen to some of the teaching, and I want you to read the Bible and call us back, King James Version, and call us back Friday. Brother Marshall, go ahead, Brother Marshall.
Yes, the scripture that Dr. Pat is basing that prayer on is found over in Romans chapter 10. It says, if you confess with your mouth around verse 8, if you confess with your mouth in Romans 10 around verse 8 and 9 that Jesus is your Lord, your Master, and you believe not just in your head but in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, it says you'll be saved. And that word in there, saved, is not just going to heaven, it's also being delivered. Saved, healed, delivered, preserved, and made whole. And it says in the Word, in Romans chapter 10, that if we call upon the name of the Lord, we'll be saved, we'll be delivered. All right? It's, I think it's in verse 13, Romans 10, 13. So you, what you've done tonight is you're calling on the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, who has all power in heaven and earth, more power than any witch or anything else. He has all power in heaven and earth. It says that in the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 28:18. He has all power. And it says that the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. All right? What you're describing is being visited with evil. That's what happened to you before. You pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and that's in John 16, 23 and 24. We pray to our Heavenly Father in the name of the Lord Jesus because we believe on His blood, because He shed His blood to cleanse you from all your sin. Okay? And that says that over in the book of the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So he loves you. That's why he shed his blood. All right? So you might want to meditate on that scripture in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Very important that you understand it's only by the blood. And it's over also in the book of Revelation 12, 11. It says, we overcome the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we don't love our natural life as much as we love Jesus. You need to know about the importance of the blood. And when you have received his life, his blood, his soul, okay, it's his life in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it says that over in Romans chapter 1, verse 12, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, the children of God, to them that believe on his name. His name is I Am. He's the eternal God. Jesus said that over in John chapter 8, verse 58. He said, before Abraham was, I am. So if you understand that Jesus is God, the Word, who's come in the flesh, he shed his blood, the blood of God, for you. I don't know how long you were listening tonight. But if you know that he shed his blood for you personally, if you were the only person who ever lived, he would have still gone to Calvary on the cross and shed the blood of God to purchase you. Because that's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For you are redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the incorruptible blood as of a lamb without spot or blemish. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for you, for me, for Dr. Pat, for Dr. Sabrina, every human being. He's the, and if you believe on his blood, guess what? He takes you under the shadow of his wings. If you understand about communion at all, and you may want to read 1 Corinthians 11, starting around verse 25, 26, and to the end of the chapter. If you understand about communion, when you are in him and he's in you, and you can read, there's a lot of scriptures I'm throwing at you, but if you read, it's very powerful in the gospel. I don't know how much you've read in the Word. Have you read any of the Bible in the King James?
No, she's a brand new believer. She just got saved.
Okay, well, coming up on this program, that's amazing. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, she just got saved.
Well, ask the Lord to teach you, and he will. Ask the Lord to teach you. And, you know, I had, you know, you can begin in the, begin with one of the Gospels. I had a preacher tell me, begin with the Gospel of Luke and then read Acts. They're both written by Dr. Luke. And that's a good enough place. Some people say start in John, but that's pretty deep. But I found that for me, I started, when I first came to be a believer, somebody told me, start, pick up the Gospel of Luke. It's written by a Gentile. It's about the only one in the book that is. And then read Acts. It tells you what the disciples did, what the believers did after Jesus went back to heaven. So it gives you a good foundation in the basic gospel message. And that's a really good place to start. And one thing nobody told me, read it out loud, preferably out of the King James Bible. Read it out loud, because it says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. You can get it somewhat by reading it, but your spirit gets it more. And more than that, the enemy can hear you reading the word out loud, and it drives him away. Okay? But if you're in Jesus, and Jesus says, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him, over in John 6:56. If you're in Jesus, the enemy cannot touch you if you've repented of all sins.
Now you're breaking up, Marshall.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not your fault that having problems down at the studio.
Yeah, you
occasionally
were.
Call will have everything sorted out, and we'll be able to have a better experience with the sound. God bless you, Brother Marshall.
Yes.
Brother Marshall.
It's cutting out
today. Today in the Senate, they failed to pass the gun law bill. And you remember last time we were up on the air, we prayed about that.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of things going on our side. And the Lord spoke to me the other day. And he, I think I mentioned it to Sabrina. I might have mentioned it up on the radio last week. But the Lord told me that he was going to do something big and that it was going to be on our side. And so two things happened this week. One was that Boston massacre, and the other one was the Senate bill going down. So the Lord is telling me that's still not what he's going to do. So we need to continue to pray. We're getting victories, and we need to continue to pray for what's going on in our nation, because we're on the verge of totally falling into tyranny. But on the other hand, and we cover these words with the blood of Jesus and listeners and angels and computers crash that are reporting what we pray about concerning the GOV and everything in Jesus' name. But here's the thing. God can move suddenly and change the whole picture just like he did Nineveh. And that's what we have to believe for. It's a Nineveh miracle of a complete turnabout of the church and the people. That's our only hope at this point, because if the church goes, the nation goes, and the church is not in good shape at this moment. So we need to pray that God will bring about miracles of conviction of sin and a turnabout of preachers, convicting them and the congregation to turn this thing around, or we're done. Now, these two things, the fact that the massacre happened and people are questioning who did that. They're questioning who did Connecticut. And they're coming up that it isn't some wild people doing this. They're coming up with good answers. So we need to pray about the nation before we're still on the air. I can't turn it off, honey, but because my computer just isn't working. Because it's just hello. And so let's say we're over time. Please, let me talk, okay? I can't knock you off. Please. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just lift up our nation. We thank you, God, for this radio show. And we know that there's a lot of interference tonight, but we know why. Because the devil hates it. In addition to that, he knew that we were going to pray about what we're praying about right now. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we lose your glory. We lose your glory in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name, that everything that you are doing, God, that we have prayed for, and we literally see happening before our eyes. Now, Father, you know the culprits that need to come under correction. And we're asking you, God, bring these people to correction that have done these awful things to our country. We give you praise and glory, and we expect to see great, mighty things happen tomorrow, the next day, and the next day. We bind the angel up in the whirlwind. We come against the angel of the republic. mean, it's every ungodly thing that's going on in our nation. We blame it right now in Cajun, and we take its power away from it, and we bind the power of Satan in this nation, and we give it to Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you're able to do so much more than any one of us can even think of. And so, Father, we lift up the church, the pastors, the congregation. And with that, I'm going to let Brother Marshall pray for the churches and the pastors.
Yes, Father, we in Jesus' name, I'm agreeing with us. I have a prayer, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, we bind every interfering spirit in Jesus' name.
On mute.
Father, we ask you to have mercy on those in leadership, Father God, particularly in the church, Father God. We ask you, say, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. You turn them whichever way you will as the rivers of water. We ask that you turn the pastor's hearts fresh to the Lord Jesus, even as you admonish the people in the book of Revelation to return to their first love. Inspire the pastors to be returning to Jesus, Father God. When they see the horrendous things that have been going on in the world, they need to know that they know that they know that they're in a very tight union with the Lord Jesus. And they're not just doing a work for the Lord, but they're in relationship with the King of Kings. So, Father, restore, restore. I say restore. I plead the blood of Jesus as one of your priests under my high priest, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus, our high priest after the order of Melchizedek, over the hearts of all those pastors, Father God, that you're drawing back to the Lord Jesus by your Holy Spirit. I ask you to draw them, Father God. Pull them back, Father God. Draw them back, Father God. And all the Christians that have wandered off following seducing spirits, give them discernment, Father God. Grant them discernment. Grant the pastors and the believers discernment, Father God, that they won't be following after false voices, Father God, that they won't be looking to have their ears scratched by other than you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that they'll draw close, that they'll put their heads on your chest, Lord Jesus. They want to hear your heartbeat. They want to hear your desire, Father, in your desires, King Jesus, in Jesus' name. Draw them back, Father, by the blood of Jesus, I ask you to forgive them and draw them, Father, by the Holy Spirit, and send the proper labors across each one, and cause people to hear the bug radio broadcast that you want. We ask for your favor, Father God, according to Matthew 18:19, that we'll have clear and good connections, Father God, even supernatural connections, Father God. We don't need technicians. We don't need all the electronic stuff. But, Father God, you made the people. You made the electrician. You made the electronics. You made every computer and all these things, Father God, in Jesus' name. We ask you, Father, to make them work properly for your kingdom and for your purposes, to your honor and glory, in Jesus' name. And we ask, Father, for miracles and signs and wonders to follow those that will do the way you want. People will be able to know the good fruits and the bad fruits. You honor and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. And we're in agreement according to Matthew 18:19, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Now, Father, we ask you to bless Brother Marshall, Dr. Sabrina, and every single person involved that's been listening to the radio broadcast tonight, the people that were prayed for. And most of all, Father, we bind up Satan and his backlash against Blog Talk Radio, Miracle Internet Church, Miracle Outreach Ministries in Jacksonville, all of our families, and all of the people that support us, Father. We give you the glory, and we look forward to what that great thing that you're going to do. We ask that you support and protect every single person that's working for our country to keep it without crashing and falling. We give you praise and glory, but whether they're Christians or not, we ask that the ones that are risking their lives, that you will draw them into your church as you did me. And we ask, God, that we release the blessings of Abraham over our country as you restore. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Thank you, Marshall, and thank all of you. I'm so afraid about the sound, but this is a problem down at Blog Talk. praise the Lord. Okay, I've signed off, but it's not working. Nothing's working on my board now. So, good night, everybody. Good night, Marshall. I played the ending or anything because the...